Now, I want to do something. How many teachers do we have in here this morning? I don't care where you're a teacher. Just stand up if you would, please. I want to pray for y'all. I know we've got some over in the other building over there. But y'all got a big job ahead of you going into this new year. And you get the awesome privilege of trying to teach a bunch of knuckleheaded kids. But we're going to believe, God, that you got an anointing on you, and this is going to be the greatest year of your life. You're going to be blessed. How many of y'all want to have a blessed year? Amen? Let's pray for them, church. Father, right now I set my agreement with every teacher, every administrator, every person working in our school systems. Lord, I just believe with all of my heart that the anointing of God would just be upon them. That as they go into their classrooms, Lord, your presence will be there with them. That they'll go in there and things that could be trouble or problems that could arise. Lord, I think it is just your spirit just goes before it and just settles it. Just puts it in its place, Lord, that you're going so much before them that, Lord, all the obstacles that would arise, everything that the enemy would throw in their past, Lord, it just gets dispelled. They don't even have to worry about it. They don't even have to know about it. Lord, I just thank you for just peace and grace being over our school systems, that our children will be taught in such a manner, Lord God, that they'll know you. And they'll grow up and they'll know right from wrong and they'll choose right. And Lord, I praise you for that. Now just bless them. Lord, just bless them and keep your hand upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Y'all give them a hand clap. God bless y'all for doing that. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning, church. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. And I was down in the valley preaching last week, had great services, just so that y'all can rejoice to know I quit at 1:30. So you know what you get here. They just bring it out of me. I just can't help. Just can't stop. But anyway, it was good. And so I was down there with the church on the American side that we work all of our missions in Mexico with. And so just encouraging them. Great things are going on. Churches are growing down there in Mexico. Great things are taking place. Our young leaders are growing up and being great, awesome men of God and starting more works and starting more churches. And there's real revival, even though Mexico is going through such problems with all the cartel and all the things that are going on. Our churches are growing by leaps and bounds. One of the churches over on the Pacific side that we helped put a roof on earlier this year, they had about 50 people in church, 50 to 75 people. They're running about 250 now, and they've started a church outside of their church, and so it's just good things are going on, good things are going on. So in the midst of all the things that are bad that you hear about, just know that people are getting saved, blessed, and touched, and you're a part of it. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, way to go. So anyway, I'm going to preach a message to you this morning, and I think turning your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, Proverbs 19, 21. And I can't remember if I started this on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but it's a continuation of a message I was preaching called The Hoper. It's not the hopper, it's the hoper. I don't know that's a word. Somebody told me it is a word. It's my word now, a hoper. You know, the Bible talks a lot about hope. It says hope is the anchor of your soul. It says hope is a good thing. But hope is not faith. Listen to me now. Hope's not faith. Hope lets you see out there past the troubles and the problems of life. Hope lets you look down the road and see what's going on. But faith is what enters you into the promise of God, not hope. Now, Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel is what will stand. You know, you can want to see the Grand Canyon. You can go on the internet. You can search the Grand Canyon. You can find out all about the walls of the Grand Canyon and the North Rim and the South Rim and this and that and the other. You can find where the hotels are around the North Rim if that's where you want to go. And you can find out where this is and where that is. And you can find out about the mule train going down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. You can want to go to the Grand Canyon. You can hope to go to the Grand Canyon. You can say, wouldn't it be so nice to go to the Grand Canyon? You can imagine you're at the Grand Canyon. But unless you leave your house, you're not going to get there. Hello? Are y'all with me? That's what I'm trying to tell you about hope. Hope lets you, someday we're going to go and we're going to see the Grand Canyon. Hope says someday we're going to come into this place and it's going to be great. Someday we're going to, hope is always futuristic. But the Bible says faith is now. Faith is now. If you want to know if you're in faith or in hope, all you have to do is ask yourself, are you saying it's real, it's true, it's now, it's going to happen now? That's what you got to ask yourself. You can sit around and say, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Well, folks, the Bible says it's faith and belief in Jesus Christ that gives you the assurance in your heart that you are going to heaven because you know Jesus. If you question your salvation, you're still in hope. I mean, let's just put it, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, you know, I realize that there's people in the world that believe that the Bible is nothing but full of just nice stories and that it's not full of truth and they don't believe it. They believe it's all a fairy tale, don't believe there's anything, don't believe there's a heaven, don't believe there's a hell, don't believe in anything. And but, you know, I do. And if I'm sitting there looking at, like, folks, it's hot around here. You know, I don't like hot. I'll be honest with you, I don't really like cold either. But if I got to choose one or the other, I'd rather be trying to get another layer of clothes on than I would be trying to get them off. Right? But if I had to choose between heaven and hell and somebody said, oh, well, heaven is, yes, in the presence of God, streets of gold, mansions, angels singing, beauty, glory, hallelujah. And hell is ugly, hot, demons, torment, whatever. If you just gave me one of the choices, I mean, which one am I going to choose? Are y'all with me? But if you're just hoping that that's true, just hoping you're going to enter in that, hoping you're going to, well, folks, you've not entered into faith. Because faith gives you the assurance in your heart that you've talked to God about it. It's a settled issue. And now, man, you are locked in. Right? Hello? Okay. So, I want to talk about this morning, and I went through a whole bunch of stuff. You can find the tape, go on the website, look at it. It's called The Hoper, and so it'll be there. You can listen to that, but I want to go on with it. So I want to talk to you a couple of ways about entering into faith and bring something to get you to understand. So go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3 is the first thing that you need to realize in life. This is what the scripture says. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. The first thing you need to realize about walking in faith is that you can produce faith. You are set up. It's within your makeup of your spirit to have faith in God. Do you know that everyone out there, every person that you speak to that does not believe in Jesus, doesn't believe that God will answer promises, doesn't believe in a supernatural God, every one of those people that says no, inside of them they could believe if they wanted to. They have the capacity to do that. There's nobody out here in the world that doesn't have the ability to produce faith. It's just that they've never stirred their faith. It's just that they've never learned the Word of God or seen the Word of God or allowed that Word to come into them to believe it's true. The other day, a young man was arguing with me about salvation. And in the midst of him arguing with me about it, he kept talking about, well, why did God do this? And, well, why did God do that? I said, oh, so you believe in God. And he was like, I had him, you know. I'm like, okay, you already have faith. There is a God. So why are you talking to me about this trash? I said, what book did you read that got you off of this? You already told me that you do believe in God. Well, I guess I do, you know. I'm like, you're losing the argument. Because we all have an ability to produce faith. It's just, are we going to do it? Because sometimes our human reasoning gets involved in everything and starts, you know, muddying the waters up that we don't see things clearly. But faith is in you, and the ability to produce faith is in you. All right? So you got to ask yourself a question. If you're in faith, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but I want to say this now. If you're in faith, you've actually believed God. The Bible says the next thing that comes upon you is rest. So then if you want to ask yourself if you're in faith, then ask yourself, are you in rest in that area of your life? If you've prayed about a situation and said, Lord, I'm believing you for this, and then now there's peace in you that God's going to take care of it, you've entered into faith. If you're still just, oh, God, what is he going to do? I don't know how he's going to do this. Oh, my God. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if that's going to work. Oh, God. And there's no peace in you. You've not really entered into faith. You're not really believing God's going to do it. You're still in hope. You're still hoping and a praying God's going to do something. And a hoping and a praying really just makes you weary and tired and religious. Right? That's all hoping and praying does. I mean, I talk to a lot of people in life, and you know, somebody will say, like what discourages me as a preacher, as a pastor, is that if I pray for somebody and I say, now look, I want to pray for you. The Bible says that if I pray for you, not because I'm something special, but it says if any man, if you get two of you agreement, you know, God will do it. And I'm going to pray for you, and when I pray for you, God's going to move in your life. And the person says, oh, I really hope so, preacher. I'm like, ain't no sense in me praying. I'm just doing a religious work here for you and saying some pretty words over you. But if you're not even believing, if you're not even in faith that what I say is going to happen, then you're just in hope. And hope is pretty. Hope is nice. Hope can anchor your soul. Hope looks good for the future, but hope's not now. Faith is now. And the only way you're going to enter into faith and get out of hope is you got to take action. You have to move. When you're in faith in what God's word has said about your life, it compels you to move forward. If you're still saying, okay, well, when God does this, then I'll do that. You're in hope. Are y'all with me? If you're faith and you enter into faith, then faith brings you rest that God's heard your prayer. 1 John 14 comes about and says, hey, you have this confidence in him that what you've asked, he's heard and he's moving on it. There's a confidence that comes. You're like, yeah, whoo, that's good. I like it. God's working on my behalf. Do you see? May not see anything. May not see an instantaneous result. May not. But you have the confidence on the inside of you that God is working on your behalf, bringing something about. So that confidence gives you peace. Yeah, God's in control. I've been in a lot of situations in my life that I've prayed about and said, God, you know, this is this. And so, you know, I don't know what you're going to do, but I just know you're going to be doing something. And I knew that God heard my prayer. I entered into faith. And then the thing got worse. And my mind said, see, ain't nothing happening. But my faith said, no, I talked to God about it. It'll be okay. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it'll work out. How many times in life I had it all planned out, and this is the way I thought it should go down, and it didn't go down that way. And I was like, wow, Lord, what happened? And then turned to find out if I would have gone that direction, it would have been disastrous for me. And this was the better place over here, and God worked the thing right around. And boom, I ended up right where I needed to be. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't see this. I didn't see this shortcut. I didn't see this way to do it. You know, like a computer. Even though computers have been out for so long, I probably know, I'll give myself a lot and say probably 10% of how one of the stupid things work. Although I was talking to a man the other day, and I was sending him an email, and he said to me, he said, well, listen, can you resend me that email? And I said, well, you got it. You put it on your computer, didn't you? Yeah, but I don't know how to get it off my desktop. And I said, you don't know how to send a document. He said, no, I don't. And I was like, where have you been? I even know that. So I felt like a genius that I just knew that, you know. Okay, so the first thing you have to realize is that you have the ability to walk in faith. You have the ability then to walk in the promises of God. There's not one of you in here that doesn't have that ability. Y'all with me? Okay, second thing, and this is the meat of where I'm trying to get to this morning. Okay, the second thing, go to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Okay, I want you to go down to verse 38. Okay, I want to read this to you. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village that a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now when she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are so worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, we've heard this story. We've looked at this story. 1,000 preachers have preached on this story. I've probably preached on this story. But I saw something here the other day that just really blew my socks off, and I want to share it with you. The second thing you're going to do, if you're going to really enter into faith and really walk in faith, is you're going to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. Okay? You're going to learn to take some time to sit at the feet of Jesus. In this world today, we're all too busy. Myself included. We're too busy. We do everything in the world except what's needful. We spend a lot of time doing everything in the world, but we miss what's needful. We're Marthas. We're busy. We're trying to get this done, that done, whatever. And Jesus gets the leftovers. And if we're really going to learn to walk in faith, we're really going to have to learn at the feet of Jesus. That means that you're going to have to take time to sit and listen to him. Okay? So, I want to show you this story here. Look at verse 38 again. Now it happened as that they went into a certain village that a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into his house. Who started this? That's what I want you to see. Martha did, right? I don't know. You know, folks, listen, sometimes I'm painting with a pretty broad brush here, and we get to heaven, y'all can watch the DVD on it and see if I was right or not. But, you know, I'm seeing Jesus walking down a dusty street in a town, and Martha comes out and says, Jesus. You know, what an honor. I want you to be in my house. I want you to, Jesus, come into our house. Because it says she welcomed him, she asked him. Wasn't like Jesus went up there and pounded on the door. Open up, I want some deep. Yeah, with me. She started it. She instigated it. Didn't you instigate inviting Jesus into your house? Didn't you at one point of your life hear the call of God on your life? Didn't you hear the stirring in your heart and you at some point, whether at the altar of a church or underneath a tree or wherever you were, professed Jesus as your Lord and said, Jesus, I want you in my life. You welcomed him in. Hello? He didn't come force himself on you. He didn't show up at the night with a big sword and hold it to your throat and say, you know, bless God, serve me or I'll cut your throat. You did it upon your own free will and your faith. You said, Jesus, I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he will wash away my sins. I want you into my life. Jesus, come into my life. So all of us, right? You started it. You invited him into the house. Okay, now let's read on. Now, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus comes in and he sat down and was, you know, started talking and teaching, and Mary just goes and sits down at his feet, forgets about who's in the house, forgets about what's going on. But Martha couldn't turn loose of it. Look what it says. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted with much serving. So in other words, Martha got into it and she said, the master's in the house. Jesus is in the house. I mean, oh my gosh, we got to get the good china out. We got to get the everything set. And oh my gosh, what are you doing? Oh my God, the guy sitting on the arm of the chair over there. What is he doing? What is he thinking? I hope nobody goes in that room. I mean, you know, maybe she just shoved a bunch of stuff in there and said, oh, Jesus, come in the house. And she ran in there, some stuff she didn't want him to see. So she shoved it in the room, shut the door. Hope nobody had opened it. House gets full, gets crowded. Martha does what we do. She started about sitting and said, oh, the master's in the house, so we have to make everything perfect. I'm just going to step out on a limb and say Martha was a little bit of a control freak. Now, see, there's some of us who say, well, I mean, you know, gosh, you would want everything to be nice and you want everything to be set right. Jesus is in the house. Yeah, but see, there comes that point. There comes the point in life to where you're so busy trying to make everything perfect for Jesus to be in the house, you forgot that Jesus is in the house. There's so much today in life and in society that tries to tell us that we're supposed to be a certain way in order to be right. You're supposed to weigh a certain amount. You're supposed to look a certain amount. You're supposed to be able to do this. You're supposed to be able to do out of that. And then they turn around and they change it on you. I mean, just think about fashion. I mean, I got some clothes in my closet just a few more years. They're going to be back in style. Right? And, you know, 10 years ago, if I'd have tried to put them on, everybody said I was, you know, goofy. I was out of style, out of touch with the reality. And it's not going to be too long. I'll be right back in style. Just right in style because things come back around. First it's this, you got to look this way. And then all of a sudden it changes, you got to look this way. Hello? So, all I'm saying is that we can get ourselves busy in the world and become Marthas, but really miss what's going on in life. Jesus telling you something. We can get so hurried and busy with everything, with our work and everything that's related, that we just become Marthas. We become distracted. Become distracted. All right? Now, let's see what it says. So she approached him, and she said, now, okay, hold on. Hold on here. Martha's now taken the issue from wanting Jesus to come into the house to now she's gotten an offense with her sister. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now, again, I'm kind of imagining the scene. But can you imagine? I mean, Martha wanted Jesus to come to the house, and now she's gotten offended and mad, and basically she's in sin over the whole issue. Are y'all with me? She has taken a really good thing and turned it completely bad. Now, let me ask you something. Is that not true today? Folks, listen to me. You can be mad about coming to church this morning. Dadgum, got to go to church. Sunday, I'm tired, worked all week. My God, I'm going to go to church. Go on there, man. You know, you can get into this religious mindset of just going to church and it becomes drudgery and you're just going not out of a relationship with Jesus, not out of an opportunity to stand and worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you just had to go do it and it just became drudgery. And what's happened is you have gotten offended somewhere down the road and you have brought the offense to Jesus and you've just become Martha. And so when everybody else is worshiping, saying, Jesus, I love you, you're saying, Lord, do you not see my sister? I mean, she ought to be helping me. Your prayers have become angry. You're not even in faith in your prayers. You're in like, you're like the disciples want to call fire down upon the city, you know? Your prayers are about, you know, Lord, if you love me, you would smite them with a blight of something. Or let me say, maybe you're not that bad. You're just, all of your prayers have become focused on what you need Jesus to do for you, and there's really no relationship anymore. You're not entering into faith in your prayers. You're just simply bringing your complaints to Jesus and wanting Him to make it right. So you're not praying in faith. You're praying in complaint. Hello? Really got quiet in here. Oh, I've done it. I've sat at the foot of Jesus and done nothing but complain. Got up and said, well, I got my prayer through with today. I mean, I know you saintly people have never done that, but pastor's done it. I find myself standing talking to the Son of God saying, I can't believe this is going on, and why is this happening? What are you doing with that? And Lord, this is just not right. And look what they did, and they need to get away. You know, oh, Lord, come on, we got to do something about this, and we got to do something about that, and whatever. And I just sat there the whole time and complained at the feet of Jesus. What's even worse and even more religious is to then take the Word of God, find it for your complaint, and then be telling Him what the Word of God says, backing up your complaint. Can be done. Now, I want to carry this just a little bit further. Do you reckon anybody in the room, because the room must have been filled, must have been pretty full, because she's about trying to serve everybody. Do you reckon anybody noticed that Martha got mad? They had to, don't you think? Don't you think? I mean, I can just see the room, and then somebody's sitting over there and said, what's Martha all mad about? Well, she's mad at Mary. What did Mary do? Well, you know, she's kind of simple-minded, and she ain't helping Martha like she should. She's just sitting down at the feet of Jesus, and, you know, didn't even help poor Martha. She's doing all the work around here, trying to make all this right, serving properly. And the guy says, that's right. That sure isn't right. He ought to be up helping her, serving us. And then the guy beside them says, what's going on? Oh, Martha's mad at Mary. And then it starts going around the whole room, and then everybody starts taking Martha's offense. And before long, the whole room is full of offense. Nobody's listening to Jesus. Everybody's talking about Mary. Simpleton just sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you, if I know human nature, this scene took place. And somewhere, you know, in the midst of it all, there was probably some righteous person who said, why don't y'all be quiet and listen to Jesus? But it went around the room till that everybody took on Martha's offense to where no one was listening to Jesus. It can happen in a church that a whole church gets cited off because the whole church is talking about the offense rather than sitting there listening at the feet of Jesus. That's why churches get destroyed. Now, I can see wherever he was, outside or whatever, just the devil just rubbing his fingers together and saying, oh, it's working perfect. Nobody's listening to Jesus. Because the Bible says that faith comes about in our life because we hear the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes into our life, it makes the part in us that can produce faith, it comes alive and we believe. But when we're distracted and we're taken aside and we're not looking at what really we need to be doing, then we're not receiving the Word of God, which we're not producing faith, which then again, we don't walk in the promises of God. And the devil has got us sided over to the side. Folks, none of us are immune from this. I believe with all of my heart, there are things and times in our life that we it's time to declare war. There's a time that you get focused on an issue or something or problem or something like that, and it's time to declare a war on it and fight that thing till you see victory. But there's a lot of things that go on in our life that are nothing more than distractions. Little bitty murmuring, backbiting, issues and problems that come up in our daily lives. If you are around people, this happens. You're trying to stay focused on what you need to do, and somebody's come up and said something about something, and then they said something, and then that something got tied, and then it got back to you, and this and that, and then you're over there looking, saying, "What? What is going on over here?" You get distracted. I've learned this even in the building trade. It's so easy to get distracted and miss what's going on. It's so easy to get off and be thinking that this is the problem when really this is what you need to be doing over here, but you're off over here. It happens to all of us. None of us are immune from it. All of us will end up being a Martha if we don't watch it. Now, Mary, you know, Jesus told her, said, "Martha, why are you so worried?" When she's chosen the good part. Look, which will not be taken away from her. She chose the good part that'll not be taken away from her. How many of you have ever just sat down and said, "Okay, in the morning, I'm going to, at 9 o'clock, I'm going to pray. Or 8 o'clock, or 7 o'clock, or whatever. I'm going to make sure that I'm setting aside that time to pray. That's the time." You're waiting. Click, the clock goes over. Phone rings. And you say, "I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to pray." Ring, ring, ring. You're just sitting there. You're thinking about the phone ringing. And you just start, "Might as well answer." And then you get in a conversation. And then the 20 minutes you're going to spend praying, you spent on the phone conversation, you hung it up. Well now I'm late. Now I got to go do the next thing, next thing. Folks, that's how it works. That is a tactic, number one, 100% tactic of the enemy to get you distracted. Hello? Okay. I want you to go look at something else here. Go to, I'm lost here. Let me get out of this. Go to the book of John, chapter 11. There's another story here, Martha and Mary. Because Martha and Mary had a brother named Lazarus. If you know the story, Lazarus had died. Jesus had held off a few days from going, and then he finally went. And the first person to meet Jesus is Martha, not Mary. Now let's read what she says here. I'm in John chapter 11, verse 20. It says, "Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you.'" Wait. Does that sound like the same lady? I mean, here we're talking about Martha. If she was the old Martha and she heard Jesus was coming, what would she have done? Gone back to start cleaning up the house. He's got a funeral. Something happened in Martha. The hope I'm giving you this morning that you could enter into by faith is you may be a Martha, but you can turn and be a Mary. Or Martha can be converted. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Does that not sound like a faith statement? Something's happened. Martha, from Jesus, I'm going to say Martha learned that day over in Luke chapter 10 when he said Mary chose the best thing. I'm believing that Martha that day became a hero of the faith, and she changed and became a faith-filled Martha. She's gotten a bad rap all these years because everybody says, "Oh, you're just a Martha." So she's got kind of a bad rap. But I'm saying this woman changed. That means there's hope for all of us. It means you don't have to be a Martha, staying as a Martha all your life, worried about and distracted with the things of life. You can be a Mary. You got to make a choice, though. You have to enter into faith like she did and make a choice. She said here, "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day.'" Look at this woman. She says, "Yeah, he's going to rise." I mean, She's speaking faith. It's not hoping. She knows it. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who's come into this world. Martha changed. Martha changed. That day, at that experience in her house, and Jesus basically rebuking her, saying, Mary chose the best thing. Somewhere Martha changed and started sitting at the feet of Jesus. She started learning. She started building her faith. She quit doing it out of her head and what seemed right to her and started doing it by faith and walking in faith. So the challenge set before you today, if you're really going to start walking in faith, is, you know, you kind of got to judge yourself this morning. If you're a Martha, the best thing you can do is say, Martha, you need to leave. I want to be a Mary. Or I want to be a converted Martha. I kind of feel bad about her. Like, I wouldn't want to be in heaven knowing that everybody preached about me and said, yeah, you're just a Martha. And she's like, but I changed. And they didn't get it. See? So let's just start today. Let's just call it a converted Martha. Give her some glory here that she did do what was right. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's an inspiring thing to look at because it's like all of us can change. There's a way. If Martha changed, we can change. But the first thing is you got to do is become aware of it. You got to judge yourself and say, you know, this is what I've been doing. I've been letting myself get distracted. I've been letting myself get overwhelmed with the things of life rather than focusing at the feet of Jesus. What does Jesus say about this? Do you know that it always amazes me with Jesus that every time I think that I'm really believing him and really having some faith that something's going to happen, he always brings to my mind Ephesians 3:20 that said he can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can think or ask. That means no matter how much I'm believing him for, what he wants for my life is bigger than that. It's better than that. It's greater than that. It's more glorious than that. And that blows my mind sometimes because I'm like, Lord, I don't even see how that happens. I mean, I can't even enter into hope on those things. Because I thought I was really having a lot of faith. Y'all with me? Distractions are all around us. They're all around us. And they'll sidetrack you and keep you from walking in faith. So it's up to you to look in your life. It's up to you to judge yourself and say, yep, I've been distracted. But I don't want to be anymore. I want to learn at the feet of Jesus. I want to learn at the feet of Jesus. And then you got to make a move to do it. Because hope only says someday I'll have time to do that. Faith says, no, you're going to do it tomorrow. You're going to do it. Actually, faith says, I'm going to do it today. That's the difference. I want to encourage you that no matter what, where you are, no matter what's going on, you can start at where you're at and you can move forward. You can. Martha changed, you can change. But you got to be willing to do it. Folks, it's not going to come upon you. It's not just going to happen to you. You've got to stop the distractions. You know, I think cell phones have a use. But they can be a huge distraction. Start looking around right now whenever you go anywhere and look at how many people are in waiting in line for something or just sitting there looking at their cell phones, looking at the news or doing whatever, playing a game, whatever. The world is poised like this now. Me too. I actually find myself that at any spare moment I have, I'm messing around with that thing. Last night, my wife and I took a date, and both of us left our cell phones at the house. You know, like just walked off and left them. And I said, well, you better go back and let me get mine just because, you know, what if I needed, what if I had a problem, needed a cell phone. So I went and got it, but I left it in the car and went and sat down. And as I was sitting at the table, I could find myself like wanting to, like, the security of where's my phone to play with. And I said, you got a problem. Robert, you got a problem. If you can't sit here for an hour and you're wanting to mess with that stupid phone. So you may not be able to get hold of me anymore. I mean, I realize that it's a distraction in my life that's eating up my time that I could be doing something else with. Or I may just delete every app on it except the Bible. But I'm just telling you, it can be a tool for service, a tool for something good, but not managed right, it becomes a distraction. Same thing, the television. Hello? So it's a choice. It's just a choice we have. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit down and say, I'm not going to be distracted by that anymore? This is my time set aside to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, this is the cool thing. There is no perfect time. Right? I mean, Jesus just doesn't have services from 9 to 12. Anytime you stop to sit at his feet, he's there. That's the glorious thing about it. 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's there. He only wants you to stop and listen to him. And I have one more little thing to say, and then we're going to pray. I don't know about y'all, but as a father, when my son asks me a question or my daughter asks me a question, it makes me feel good that they ask me a question. Come on, brother. Amen. It makes me feel good. What do you think about your Heavenly Father? What do you think God's thoughts of you are when you stop and say, Lord, I'm just sitting aside this time. I just want to be with you, Jesus. How do you think that makes God feel? That you're having faith and trust in him? I want to tell you something. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Look at the person beside you and say, it's a big deal. So I want to do this right here. I'm going to pray for you. All right? And I'm just going to ask you, come on up here, sweetheart, and play something pretty. Play a pretty song. For those of you guests, no, that's my wife. I can call her sweetheart. I am having an affair with the piano player. It's a real simple prayer here. If you've been distracted and you don't want to be anymore, stand up. It's that simple. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm serious about this prayer. So I want you to be too. I'm going to pray. But you right there, look into your own heart and you make your own commitment to Jesus. You make your own commitment to Jesus. And I'm just going to pray over all of you, but he sees your hearts. Father, right now we stand before you. First of all, Lord, we repent for getting distracted in life. We repent from letting things get in the way. We shouldn't have done it, but we did. But we thank you for your loving grace and your forgiveness this morning, that you wash us and you cleanse us from those mistakes. Lord, you wash us and you cleanse us from those mistakes. And today, Lord God, we make a commitment to you. We make a commitment to you, Lord God, to set aside time to be at your feet. To not be distracted. To not get caught up in offenses. To not get caught up in the schemes of the enemy, Lord God, that would take us out of just sitting at your feet. And Lord, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you begin to show us the perfect time. Show us the ways. Teach us, Lord, to have that special time with you. That special time with you. Because that's what we want, Lord. Jesus, more than anything in this life, we just want to walk in faith in you. So, Lord, I pray over every person here today that all the yokes and the distractions of life have been broken off of them and that they're free today. Free, Lord God, to just spend time at your feet. That they're going to be shocked and amazed. Shocked and amazed at how gracious you come into their lives. And it's going to change us. So, Lord, we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, church, while you're all standing, let me have my prayer team come down here. If you're here today and you need prayer about something specific, we're here for you. I believe in a God of miracles, and I believe He'll touch your life and change you. The Bible says if we agree in prayer, God will do it. So if you need anything, we're here for you up front. Now, don't forget today, 2 o'clock, we'll be having the baptism out at the Kellner's house. And so if you're committed your life to Christ, or if you're rededicating your life to Jesus and you want to be baptized, we'll be out there. 2 o'clock. Come, just if you want to come, just be at the service. But if you're in here today, or if you're listening by audio or watching by video and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still hoping and a praying, but you've never entered into faith, well, then today's your day. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that, boom, you'll be saved. If you take that step out of hope and enter into faith, that's all it takes. So if you're in here today, or you're listening by audio or video, and you want to make Jesus your Savior, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. So what I want to ask you to do is just, if you're out here in the audience today, well then just lift your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. Today's my day. If you're watching by video today, I want you just to look at the screen and say, yeah, it's me. And so, everyone bow your heads and just pray with me. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I ask you to come into my heart, wash my sins away, and make heaven my home. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. Amen. Now, church, I'm going to pray over you. Listen, it's great days ahead. There's good things ahead. Don't get so distracted with everything in the world that you think everything's bleak. Oh, I can tell you there'll be some troubles, there'll be some trials, there'll be some things to overcome. But wow, Jesus said, hey, you'll have tribulations for it, but it's okay. I already overcame it for you. So we're going to go over the top. Amen? So take that person's hand beside you. And I want to bless you. Father, I just declare that as we leave this building today, as we go out there into the world, we've got a good message to share with people. Good things to tell people, Lord. That there is a Savior and He's alive and He will forgive and He will bless. So Lord, I thank You for putting Your hand upon us all. That as we go out into the world, Lord, this week we'll have divine appointments. We'll get to share the gospel with people. We'll get to walk in the power of God and the things of God. So Lord, we praise You for it. I thank You for blessing every business, blessing every person here, blessing our finances, blessing us through the midst of a drought, Lord God, so that water comes from heaven and blesses this land. And Lord, I thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're down here up front to pray for you if you need anything.